Elder Clayton Nowell.
Amen. I appreciate what's gone before us this morning. Desire and interest in your prayers. There's some scriptures that I'm very familiar with and that I've used many times. But there's a burden on my heart this morning that I've never taken this approach. So I desire and interest in your prayers.
Lord, amen.
No, before I begin with that, appreciated the messages last night, and a couple of things that the brother said this morning stirred me a little bit. A number of years ago, a minister some of you may have heard of, Michael Goins, when I was sharing some burdens with him, and he told me, he said, Brother Clayton, God hasn't called us to be successful. He called us to be faithful.
Amen. Mm.
That helps a lot.
Yeah.
Because of who God is and what he can do. But you know, there is a prescription for success in the scriptures.
Yeah. Amen.
Joshua 1 and 8.
Yes, sir.
Amen. When, how would you like to follow Moses? You know? They knew God talked to Moses. But anyway, God came to Moses and said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Let's read between the lines. God saying, I'm still alive. That's who we look to anyway.
Yes.
Okay. Amen. So in Moses 1 and 8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, yeah. Not before.
That's right.
Then mm-hmm. shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Mm.
We'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 7, Paul has been speaking about not trust in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. My brother this morning pointed us to our God. Our God. So in verse 7, Paul says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. You've heard some of that this morning already. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory.
Yes.
Hidden wisdom. God ordained. Before the world. Unto our glory. You know, when we speak to some of our friends who are of another persuasion, and we begin to talk about those things before the world began, and what God has done by his own sovereignty. And they begin to start having that look. Like maybe you got three eyes and horns. And
preach, brother, preach.
Or you'll encounter, like I did one time, a man that was pressing me a little bit about what we believe. And, you know, you don't like to just start right out with predestination and election, but he was pressing me a little bit about it, so I started telling him about it, and he said, yeah, we believe that. As soon as you accept the Lord Jesus in your heart, then you become one of the elect. It's like Brother Sonny used to say, they use our vocabulary, but they don't use our dictionary. But there are glorious things. that God has done.
Amen.
Before the world began.
Yes.
And it's for His glory, but it'll also be ours.
Mm-hmm.
It will also be ours. Remember, Paul said in Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." Not just to us, but in us. What He has for us is far better.
Amen.
The best is yet to come.
Yes.
We can get discouraged. We can get focused on the wrong things. But that's not going to change what God has done for us.
Yeah.
Okay? So when we begin to think about some of these things, you know, what would the gospel be? Listen carefully. What would the gospel be without Christ? Not much at all, would it?
Not much.
Well, you know what? The Jewish brethren, their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they reject what God purposed from the foundation of the world.
Mm.
And so our friends who are of other persuasions, who've not heard the glory of the purpose of God and what He has done for us and what He's done before the foundation of the world, they overlook those things and they concentrate on the timely things, but they leave out the glory of what has saved us and the glory of why we'll be praising Him. It's not a matter of works. You know, the Jews in the Old Testament, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." It's not in keeping the law. It's not in perfect obedience before the Father. Although we should walk in obedience, we should try our best to walk in a way that's pleasing unto Him. That's not what has saved us. Right? 2 Timothy 1:9. "Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us." Oh, is that necessary? In Christ Jesus. Absolutely. In Christ Jesus before the world began. All right? So when we understand what God has done for us, then when you go back to those Old Testament passages, you know, Hebrews chapter 1, "God who at sundry times and in divers manners in time past spake to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." I'll stop right there. Is Christ necessary for that? Oh, listen. You know, we have the book of Revelation at the end of the Bible. I'm telling you, to those Jewish brethren, the book of Hebrews, if they are blessed to understand it, is quite a book of Revelation, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Of how Christ is far superior to the law.
Amen.
How that Christ was purposed from the foundation of the world to save us from our sins, because we couldn't save ourselves. We can't keep the law. Even the Apostle Paul, with the abundance of revelation that he had, said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" The Lord Jesus Christ, He's our deliverer.
Amen.
So when you reach back, God who at some time in divers manners spake in time past by the prophets, we go back and we understand, knowing that God has purposed to send His Son to this world to save us from our sins, then we can go back like Jesus told them, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So go back. How about Isaiah 46? When God says through Isaiah, "Remember the former things of old. For I'm God, there is none else." That says a lot right there, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Amen,
brother.
The one true living God. And we understand God. We understand sovereignty.
Right.
we often say God is sovereign. You know, that's kind of like saying water is wet. If we understand God, then that means he's sovereign.
Yes.
He can do what he will, when he will, for whom he will. And that's what he's done. But there's how many in this world who claim Lord Jesus Christ, and they're good people. If there's seats around the throne of God, their seat is probably a lot closer than mine will ever be.
Lord,
but they don't understand God is sovereign. I've known some of the sweetest people I've ever met in my life, and they would worry themselves sick as to whether somebody was saved. But if we understand what God has done, we can rejoice that even though they may not have ever had that understanding, they're safe in the blood of Christ.
Amen. Amen.
So remember the former things of old, for I'm God. There is none else. I'm God, and there is none like me. And oh, how wonderful he is. How wonderful he is. All powerful, all knowing, omnipresent, omniscient, all those things. Loving, merciful, kind. You know that wild Gadarean, yes, he said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. But he also said, and have had compassion.
Yeah.
Aren't you thankful?
Lord, mercy.
Aren't you thankful that the Lord has mercy upon us? And compassion? There's love there.
Amen.
Because there always has been love there. And there always will be love there.
Amen.
That's our God. There's none like him. Yes, we can be proud of our God. Yes, we can boast in our God. Not anything of ourselves. You know, but just think now. We're rather few in number among the primitive Baptists. Okay? I wish it was greater. But it is what it is. Why has God revealed these precious truths to us? I mean, he does have to reveal it to us, doesn't he?
Amen. Amen.
Why did he do? Why did he pick us? Are we so good?
No.
Are we so great?
No.
Because he chose to do so. Because he's God.
Sovereign.
And so, while I don't know why he did a lot of things, I'm thankful that I know he did, and I'm thankful to know that he's blessed me to know it.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm thankful for the privilege of sharing that with others.
Right.
I appreciate the admonition this morning for the brethren, for us to be more bold in sharing the faith. He said, I'm God, there's none else. I'm God, there's none like me. Here we go. Declaring the end from the beginning. Now, when you say that, a lot of people, oh, you're one of those predestinated, everything's predestinated. You stump your toe and you say you're glad that's over with. No, that's not biblical predestination.
That's right.
Predestination in the Bible relates to those who God loved before the foundation of the world. And he will have them with him in a glorified state someday when this life is over.
Yes, that's right.
And I know there's some parts of the country where there's some folks that still hold on to that idea of absolute predestination. But listen, if you know the book of Jeremiah, and I believe it's Jeremiah 7, and I believe it's Jeremiah 19. And I don't remember exactly how it goes. I won't take time to turn to it, but you can turn to it later. But in one place, God spoke of, through Jeremiah, spoke of his people doing things that never entered into his mind.
Yes.
And the other place, it says that never entered into his heart.
Right.
way. Right. So if God's people can do things that never entered into his mind nor entered into his heart, then he didn't predestinate it.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. So that's my favorite proof text against such ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he did say, declaring the end from the beginning.
Amen.
Not everything in between. Although God has his purpose, and if need be, he will intervene to bring his purposes to pass.
Correct.
Really, preacher?
Yes.
Well, I keep threatening that someday I'm going to go through and preach a sermon on what if man had his way. We got some examples. I'll just give you one real quickly. Judah. If Judah had had his way with Tamar, he'd have had her stoned. Where was the lineage of Christ?
That's right, brother.
It went through Tamar.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm. If man had had his way, if Peter had had his way in the garden and he drew that sword, he wanted to stop this from happening. The Lord told him, how then shall the scripture be fulfilled? So God has purposed some things. Not everything, but some things God has purposed, and they will come to pass.
That's right.
We can rest in that, can't we?
Amen. Amen.
When we read that he chose his people in Christ before the foundation of the world, that when we read, when there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, can't you lie down at night and rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ,
preach,
of God, that is going to come to pass?
Preach.
I don't have to worry myself sick about whether somebody does some work or follows some recipe in order to be saved eternally. Now there's plenty for us to follow, and there's plenty for us to do to be saved from this untoward generation.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? But that's why we understand that there's a timely salvation and that spoken of, and there's the eternal salvation that's secured for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Alright? So he says, declaring the end from the beginning. There are things that God has purposed to do. Things that will be accomplished. That he purposed before the foundation of the world. What are those? Ephesians 1 and 4? I don't think you can be a primitive Baptist if you don't know Ephesians 1 and 4. You know? Well, not baptize somebody, I guess. I know. But listen, according as he hath chosen us in him. In whom? In Christ. In Christ, for the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. We're never going to get there ourselves.
No.
I'm not. Oh, wretched man that I am, that we should be holy. I mean holy.
That's right. Amen.
All the way. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Yes.
I've given him so many reasons not to love me. And it keeps happening. He still loves me. And he's going to love us. Because he purposed to do it. And God does not change.
That's right.
Amen.
Sweet, yes, brother.
Purposed. So, he declared the end from the beginning. That is, when he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world, he knew each one of us individually.
Yes.
That wasn't just a class action.
Right.
Individually. Paul would say to Timothy, when Hymenaeus and Philetus were going about preaching that the resurrection had passed and had overthrown the faithless son, Paul said, nevertheless, I love that. I get a lot of comfort out of that. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. What foundation? I'm trying to tell you about it. What God purposed from the foundation of the world. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Yes, that speaks of his love, but it also speaks about he knew us individually. Them that are his. That's important. Are his. 2,000 years ago, they already were his. And before the foundation of the world, they were his.
Yeah, please.
But Paul, speaking in the present tense, those that are his, was embracing all the elect family of God.
Amen.
There's been a lot of, you know, none of us were around then, were you? That's 2,000 years ago. And Paul said, those that are his. And the reason he can say that those that are his in his day, because they always have been his. As long as time has been, there have been his people. He chose us in Christ. In other words, he would send his son to this world. The word would be made flesh and dwell among us. The word would accomplish what God purposed for his that he had chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. So what we're left to do is understand, was he successful in it? Did he accomplish what the Father sent him to do?
Oh, yes.
Declaring the end from the beginning. He, in other words, he declared what was going to be. Our God is not up there. I think I heard it this morning. He's not wringing his hands. Wondering how all this is going to, you know. There are good friends of ours and other persuasions that they think that their God is just that small and just that weak that he's wringing his hands waiting for somebody to accept what he's done. No. That's not our God. That's not the God of the Bible. Okay? That's the God of man's imagination. Our God declared the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things that are not yet done, Isaiah 46, 9. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done say, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure.
Right.
Amen.
And he will.
Amen.
And he does. And aren't you glad?
Yes.
Amen. And so when we think, when we come back to Hebrews 1, God spake through the prophets. Verse 2, he said, but hath in these last days. Last days? That was a long time ago. There's a lot of last days here, isn't there? But still, we are in the last days. There was an old covenant, an Old Testament. There's a New Testament. And the New Testament is to be found in Jesus' blood. Now what he said? He said, when he took the cup, he said, this is the New Testament in my blood for the remission of sins. You know what that word remission? In Ephesians 1, he used that word to say forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. That's what the blood of Jesus has purchased for us. We're not just, you know, sometimes we sing songs that uses the word pardon. Elder Sandage from Arkansas pointed this out, first time I ever heard it, years ago. He said, there's not going to be just a bunch of pardoned sinners in heaven. And he used the illustration about, you know, President Nixon was pardoned by President Ford. Right? Now, without getting into any of the politics here, that doesn't mean that President Nixon became innocent. He was just pardoned. It was just brushed aside. No. We're not going to be that way in heaven. We're going to be holy and without blame before him in love. Because in love, Jesus came to this earth. Because, what is the Bible? John 3:16. You know why it's so the most beloved verse? even by folks who don't really understand the glory of it. Right? God so loved the world. Now, some folks want to say, well, now that's the world at large. And then they're saying, but if you don't accept him, then you're going to go to hell. So I guess there's a whole bunch, according to them, there's a whole bunch of folks going to go to hell that he loves. That doesn't make sense.
No,
it's the world of his elect. It's the orderly arrangement, the cosmos, right? That God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. That he sent Christ to this world to save. When Jesus came to do the will of the Father, now what he said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all that thou hast given me, isn't that plain?
Plain.
But of all that thou hast given me, I should lose
nothing.
If they hold out faithful to the end.
Nope.
No. Didn't say that. I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Who's in charge of that? Power of God. The finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of God being fulfilled. We're jotting a tittle. Jesus Christ was successful in saving us from our sins.
Amen.
Right? So he says, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Do you understand? Back in the Old Testament, in Genesis, when it says, and God said, that's the word of God, right? The word was with the Father in the beginning. Isn't that what John told us in 1 John 1?
Amen.
In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Son of God. I believe an eternal Son of God. As the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Who being the brightness of his glory. Last night, Jeff, you were talking about, show me your glory. There it is. Who being the brightness of his glory. Christ. Don't leave him out. You don't have anything if you don't. Who being the brightness of his glory. You know, Second Corinthians 4. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You want to see the glory of God? When you're blessed to see the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory, you've seen the glory of God.
Yes.
Amen.
God purposed for him to come and save. We couldn't save ourselves. Didn't have any in our natural, in our fallen state. We had no desire to save our. We had no desire to seek God. We had none of that. We could not. Oh, God bless your hearts. That's what makes grace so sweet. The grace of God. So he says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The word image there. In the original language, it's where we get our English word character. There's elsewhere where the word image is translated and we get our English word icon. You know what an icon is? Something that represents something. It gives the likeness of something. When he said, when they questioned Jesus about paying taxes, he says, show me a penny. Whose image, superscription is this? That word image there is icon. It's a resemblance. It's a likeness. That's not what's here. To being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. That's why Jesus would tell Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father.
Amen.
In every way, Jesus is God.
Right. Oh, yes.
Is God. Back in the 90s, D. James Kennedy was the pastor of Coral Ridge Ministries in Florida. Some of you may have heard him on the radio or whatever. And I enjoyed Presbyterian, I believe, and I enjoyed a lot of things he said. But he commissioned a study of seminary graduates in this country, all over this country, back in the 90s. And there's two questions on there I thought was phenomenal. One question was, of these seminary graduates all over this country, do you believe in the virgin birth? 90% no. Over 90% no. We don't believe in the virgin birth. The other question, do you believe in the deity of Christ? 90% no. If he's not virgin born, if he's not God manifest in the flesh, Emmanuel, that's a clue. Right. We don't have a Savior.
Amen. Right. Amen.
We just have a good man who did the best he could. No. Jesus is virgin born.
Yes.
It says so.
Right.
In the inspired and inerrant word of God.
Amen.
And the preserved word of God.
Amen.
It says so.
Amen.
The prophet in times past spoke it.
Says so.
Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Now, if you're not reading King James, your copy might say, a young woman shall conceive. No, the Word of God says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive.
Amen.
A son. And his name shall be called Emmanuel. So the plain language of the Scriptures tells us when he comes, he would be virgin born. And by Emmanuel, God with us. And that's why, you know, John 14, when Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. He said, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and have you not known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Why? Because he's the express
image.
Not just likeness, not just resemblance, but in complete character. The express image of his, and the express image of his person. Then he says, and upholding all things by the word of his power. What did Isaiah say? Declaring the end. From the beginning. God had purposed from the very beginning what would be his son to come to this world. His son would shed his precious blood to redeem us from our sins. And it would make us holy and without blame before him in love. Oh, we still have this old nature about us. We still battle that every day. But bless your heart for what Christ has done for us.
No,
we cannot undo it.
Amen. Lord.
Upholding all things by the word of his power. He has declared the end from the beginning. From ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So he goes on to say, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself. I love that, don't you?
Oh, yes.
When he had by himself purged our sins.
Amen.
It's not grace, but. It's not grace and. No, he did it himself.
Right. Yeah. Amen. That's right.
He didn't need Peter's help in the garden. Peter drew a sword, cut off Malchus's ear. Jesus restored the man's ear. Said, put up your sword. Did you know that I can call to my Father and he will presently give me 12 legions of angels? I like the math that you can do on that. You've probably done it.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. But, you know, in the Old Testament, we find one angel destroy, 185,000 men in one night?
Yeah.
That's a lot. One angel. 12 legions? My math, you may be rusty here, but anyway, it could be tens of thousands. You know, that could have been tens of thousands. Times 186,000? If you do the math on that, if you study out what a legion was, there was a range. There was a range that a legion could be from a minimum to a max, you know, that range. But if you take just the minimum and understand that one angel could destroy 185,000 in one night, and then you multiply all that out, you'll find that 12 legions of angels would have been enough to defend them against the population of this planet up until about 1970. Our God is great.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Jesus didn't need our help.
Amen.
We can rest in that.
Amen.
We can thank God every day that he purposed to save us from our sins. And he sent his Son into this world to save us. And he did it.
Amen.
When he said on the cross, it is finished.
Mm-hmm.
When that shofar blew that afternoon for the time of the evening sacrifice, I'm speculating a little bit here, but it was about that time of day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was time for the blowing of the shofar for the evening sacrifice. It may be Jesus heard that shofar and said, it's finished.
Mm-hmm.
The real Lamb. As John said, behold the Lamb of God,
yes,
which
yes,
taketh away
the sins of the world.
Of the world.
Yes.
He was about to bow his head and yield up the ghost. And he said, it's finished.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It is finished. And so when you read, I'm not going to take much more time here, but when you read Romans 8, well, whom he did foreknow, think about that purpose. Think about how powerful, how central the gospel, including the Lord Jesus Christ, who was sent to save us from our sins, purposed from the foundation of the world, finished the work. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, Jesus Christ. When you've got all of that, there's power in the gospel.
Amen.
Amen.
Not to give life, but to those who have already received life by the Holy Spirit, it gives us light. It gives us joy. It gives us comfort. It gives us consolation. It gives us encouragement. It helps us to understand we have been given the victory. We may feel defeated. We may look around about us and see a lot of defeat in our world today. But God is successful. God
Amen.
Sent his Son to save us from our sin. And he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing can ever undo what God has purposed to do from the foundation of the world. May God bless you.
Amen.